Welcome to the ADA podcast, and today we're going to be talking with Jennifer Tates, who is a psychologist and the director of the Dialectical Behavior Therapy Program at the American Institute for Cognitive Therapy in New York City, and she's also licensed in California. She's also the author of End Emotional Eating, Using Dialectical Behavior Therapy Skills to Cope with Difficult Emotions and Develop a Healthy Relationship to Food. And today we'll be talking about enhancing treatments for anxiety and depression using principles from dialectical behavior therapy, also called DBT. Welcome, Jennifer.
Thank you. Nice to see you.
Let's start with your describing dialectical behavior therapy, or DBT, for people who don't know what that is.
Dialectical behavior therapy is a treatment developed by Dr. Marsha Linehan, and she had experience using sort of behavioral therapy, where she taught people to change the way they think, change the way they behave in certain situations. And she found a bunch of people were just getting really frustrated. Change, change, change. It seemed really sort of infuriating to people. And Dr. Linehan had a personal experience with studying Zen Buddhism. And she developed DBT, where she simultaneously teaches people to accept and change, hence the term dialectical. It seems like you either change or accept, or a lot of people think that you accept the things you cannot change. In DBT, you learn to both accept and change at the same time.
So my next question may have covered this, but how is this similar or different from other therapies for anxiety disorders and depression specifically? And you've talked a little bit about other types of cognitive behavioral therapies, but if you could touch on that.
Sure. So DBT is a form of cognitive behavioral therapy. It's unique in that it teaches people certain skill sets, which I'll expand on a little later in our talk, but it's unique in that people, in addition to doing individual therapy, if you're doing comprehensive DBT, you're also going to a class where you learn tools in mindfulness, emotion regulation, distress tolerance, and interpersonal effectiveness. A lot of other therapies cover these tools, but the class-like skills component is fairly unique to DBT. And similar therapies that are focus on a lot of mindfulness and acceptance include something called ACT, which stands for Acceptance and Commitment Therapy, which really teaches people to accept their thoughts and feelings in the service of higher values. Like DBT, the focus is really not only on feeling better, but living a full, rich life. Another therapy called mindfulness-based cognitive therapy is quite similar, and that it's both a behavioral therapy and it focuses on mindfulness. And mindfulness-based cognitive therapy is a treatment that's been found helpful for people who've had multiple episodes of depression. If people who've had multiple episodes of depression pursue mindfulness-based cognitive therapy, their relapse rates match people who are on antidepressants, which is really promising and hopeful. So different therapies have come to weave in acceptance and change principles, but DBT is unique in the additional skills component.
Good. Now, you talk about people getting stuck. What is the goal of DBT in getting them unstuck and more than relief from symptoms is learning lifelong skills?
Absolutely. So the goal of DBT is not only feeling better, feeling less depressed, less anxious, but living a life that really matters to you. In DBT, it's called a life worth living. I don't just care if my patients are in better moods or finding more joy, but I really want them to be working on a life that brings them joy. And interestingly enough, trying to build that sort of life helps your mood. DBT is a therapy that's kind of known in psychology communities as helping people who are stuck. DBT wasn't designed to treat depression and anxiety. It was designed to treat people who struggle with suicidality. But many people have found that for people that are really stuck in other sorts of behavioral therapies, who struggle with anxiety and depression might benefit from DBT. So DBT therapists, in other words, are really trained in helping you get motivated and challenging this idea that the way you feel now is the way you'll feel forever. If you are struggling, DBT might be something that will work for you if you've tried other things and they haven't worked.
I was going to ask you who you recommend for this, but it sounds like it might benefit almost anybody.
It might benefit anyone, but it doesn't necessarily have to be kind of the first step you take. If you are struggling with depression and anxiety and have never seen a therapist, you might meet with someone for a cognitive behavioral therapy consultation and get a better sense from them what might work. DBT, again, with the skills component plus the individual therapy, so you're doing a group plus individual, can be a lot. So you might start small and then see what you need after you consult with a professional. That being said, a lot of the people that I see that I teach DBT to say that they wish that they learned this stuff in school, that emotion regulation and asserting yourself sorts of skills and learning to be in the moment are instrumental. And I always tell my clients that I use all these skills in my personal life on a day-to-day basis.
That's always helpful. So someone who has a disorder, how would they know that this might be an effective treatment when they're setting out to find therapy?
Again, you know, one of the things that's really amazing in our day and age right now is that there's so many different workbooks that sort of give you a sneak peek at different sorts of therapies. There are a number of DBT workbooks out there. There's also workbooks on ACT and mindfulness sorts of therapies and CBT. If you're sort of curious and you want to learn more, you might want to pick up a workbook. And if you have notable clinical symptoms, it might be worth calling a professional. And I always tell people that it's kind of like dating. You might have to meet with a couple different people, and you should explore, make sure that someone has good credentials. And, you know, a good CBT therapist should sort of be able to tell you, you know, this is what you're struggling with. This is sort of what, how I would sort of classify your condition, and this is what the research finds helpful, and take it from there.
Are there any other questions specifically somebody could ask a mental health professional to see if this is an appropriate treatment?
One thing that I really want people to know is that, you know, some people come to me feeling really lost, that they've tried other sorts of therapies and they find therapy really mysterious and they're not sure how long it will take or what to expect. I think that people deserve to know, and therapy should be like sort of the way you present at a doctor. You should be sort of part of the treatment plan and informed of what's going to be the approach that will best help you. I think a patient who is curious about the best sort of treatment might meet with someone and ask about what their options are and what different scientific approaches have been found helpful. One thing that I just also want to clarify is these treatments are fairly similar in approach. If I'm doing CBT with someone, I also interweave a lot of DBT and ACT, so that people don't have to feel like I have to choose between one of three. They can meet with someone and potentially do a nice blend where the focus is really on building a life and accepting difficult thoughts and feelings that might get in the way.
That's good to know. And so what can you tell us about what a patient might expect with this kind of treatment, what the skills are associated? Get into it a little bit.
Sure. So DBT teaches, again, four specific skill sets. It teaches mindfulness, which in other words is really learning to be in the moment. So if you're mindfully singing karaoke, you are totally at karaoke. A lot of people associate mindfulness with meditation. In DBT, we also really talk about mindfulness as fully participating in your life, not letting your worries or your sad thoughts get in the way. This, another skill that we teach, is called interpersonal effectiveness, learning how to assert yourself or say no. A lot of times we worry so much about what to say and how to say it, and DBT has a particular set of skills and strategies to teach you to learn how to assert yourself and balance a relationship at the same time. You don't have to feel like if you assert yourself, you'll lose the relationship. DBT also teaches something called distress tolerance, which is crisis survival strategies. If you find that, you know, a lot of people say that half of the problem is what you do to cope with the problem. If you find that you're having a really hard time and you cope in a way that's problematic, like taking time off of work or saying things that you don't mean, learning crisis survival skills can be really helpful so you don't resort to some sort of impulsive problematic behavior. A big part of crisis survival is learning good soothing strategies and, again, learning a lot of acceptance. DBT also teaches emotion regulation, how to manage your emotions and act opposite emotions when they're not helpful. Some people call this the George Costanza approach.
I was just going to say, do everything the opposite of what you would normally do.
Yes.
That's sometimes good advice. Is there a typical time period before people can expect some relief from their symptoms once they fully commit to this?
One thing that I think is helpful for people to realize is sometimes you might feel worse before you feel better. For example, if you are really anxious and you haven't been going to parties or talking to people, you actually probably will feel more anxious because the therapy will include helping you approach people and talk to people. And so I guess it's helpful for people to frame the question as, am I living a better life rather than am I experiencing less symptoms? Because sometimes we experience more symptoms even if our life is in a better place.
Is there anything else you'd like to add about this topic?
Sure. I would love to just say that so many people feel like they're struggling alone with anxiety or depression and that they sort of have to figure this out on their own. And the good news is today we have so many cutting-edge therapies that have been found to be as helpful as medication in some situations, and there's new research showing how certain therapies affect brain changes. And so if you are struggling, you don't need to ponder further or try to think your way out of this or find another book to help you. It's really worthwhile to try to find a therapist that has experience. In the same way, I wouldn't try to treat any sort of medical condition I have through the internet. I wouldn't want anyone to find themselves trying to treat themselves through self-help tools if they're really debilitated. And you deserve to get help, and there is hope out there. And if you meet with someone and there isn't a good relationship and you don't feel connected or you don't feel like they really understand you, try and try again. There's so many qualified therapists, and help is on the way. And I've seen so many people who felt hopeless really feel hopeful after several months of treatment.
Thank you. I think finding hope does offer hope in itself. Thank you very much, Jennifer. We've been talking with Jennifer Tates, psychologist in New York, and this is Jean Tycho for ADAA.